The majority always controls. Consider all humanity. What is it that controls all humanity? What power to control is there? Where does it come from? What is the purpose? What direction is it going? Is it temporary or permanent? The first introductory quote in Science and Health is from Jesus. Since it is the first text, it serves as an extremely important message that Mary Baker Eddy is giving to the researcher and the one that is hoping, expecting to improve their life by latching on to the key ideas that are in the system of divine metaphysics that Mary Baker Eddy has given to us, as mentioned on page 146 and page 330. On page 146, she states that divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus's healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. And on 330 she says, when the 32 planks of the platform is understood and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. Notice that she uses a singular word, is, along with a plural in quantity, which is planks. The 32 planks is understood. So they are a unit of one. All 32 are interconnected, and it's a platform that has no missing planks. But it's up to us to understand that that is the truth about it, and number two, how they all connect. So the first quote at the beginning of Science and Health, which says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," that truth is embedded in the system of divine metaphysics. Knowing that, first of all, Christian Science has been reduced to a system that is reliable, that anyone can prove for themselves works and will improve their life, and second of all, that there's 32 parts to it. And we need to understand those 32 planks and realize that they are a unit of one. We can't just understand some of it. We have to understand all of it in order to have the system that is infallible. Now, there's other things that are required, such as we have to live a life of giving instead of taking, which means we have to live a life of love instead of hate, of sharing, and a life of the golden rule instead of a life of selfishness and ego and self-will. We have to live a life of following the will of God, the one and only God as defined by Mary Baker Eddy through deep inspiration, direct from God, which is given throughout the textbook. The book entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Two very important places that give it to us in a very condensed form is on page 465, where she says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And on page 578, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance intelligence. And right next to it is a definition of good. And she defines good as being God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. Omniscience includes omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. If you consider those two definitions of God and the definition of good, there's nothing left out of exactly what God consists of. As a very quick statement, mind is anything to do with the mental. Spirit is anything to do with substance. Soul is anything to do with identifying. Identifying anything and everything and everyone. Principle has to do with structure and system. Life has to do with living the qualities of God. Truth is related to consciousness, motive. What is the difference between truth and its opposite, which is anything unlike truth? And love. Love, of course, is a combination of all of them together. It represents fulfillment, which we can have when we understand all seven of those terms. And there's four operators. They are called the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. The Word means everything about God. The Christ means translating whatever we are faced with from a false sense, which is in material terms, to the reality, which is the only thing that is true, which is the spiritual sense. That's what Jesus did. He translated. No matter what it looked like, he translated it to a spiritual basis. He was looking always through the lens of spirit. Christianity is proving, demonstrating, in living the truth, living the qualities of God, living translating from the material to the spiritual. And if we do that, we will be able to feed into our consciousness the truth about everything, which is only good. The definition of good, remember, is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. That covers everything. All action. All action. Just like mathematics has four operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide, and 10 digits of 0 through 9, you apply the operators to the digits in order to come up with a product. Knowing how to do it is the algorithm, which is what you need to learn in mathematics, and you also need to learn that in the system of divine metaphysics. And that's what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. We teach you the system that Mary Baker Eddy gave us in the textbook through these prayer treatments. The fourth operator is science. Science means that we have demonstrated, which means we have proven that we understand what God is about. We've translated it from any false concept that is material into the spiritual reality. And we're living it in our life by living a life of giving and feeding into our consciousness the truth about everything and everyone. Science is automatically doing exactly what Jesus did. Automatically seeing the truth and living the truth. Mary Baker Eddy, in responding to someone that was having a vision problem, she said, "Do you focus? Can you focus? No matter what comes your way." In other words, no matter what the material sense presentation seems to be, can you go to God and think about God and get your thought off of what the problem is, clean it out of your consciousness by putting in there the truth about what God is and about what you are, because you're God's manifestation. God would not be a God unless God had a manifestation. And each one of us are a part of that manifestation. But we have to claim it. We have to open our consciousness and we have to claim it. We have to say, yes, I am a part of this beautiful manifestation that God has created of Himself. And I am unique, just as everyone else is. No one can take my place. No one can take someone else's place. We all have our part in the grand manifestation of God, which includes all existence. Our uniqueness, which includes our connection with God, is within our own individual consciousness. We have to claim it. We have to accept it. We have to be open to changing from any sense that is not spiritual and convert it in that second function of translation, which is the Christ. We have to convert it from a false material sense to the reality of spirit, the real substance. Then we're preparing the path for us to be able to demonstrate the truth. And how do we demonstrate the truth? We demonstrate the truth by studying seriously the textbook of Christian Science along with the Bible, because Christian Science and the textbook is a spiritual translation of the Bible. It's a spiritual interpretation. It is the spiritual sense. It throws out the garbage and it keeps all the good. For example, Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning God created," and then it gives us the seven parts of creation that God created. And then in chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, it says, "There went up a mist." And instead of talking about Elohim, which is the word for the real God, it starts talking about Jehovah, which is the word that describes a false sense of God. And that, of course, is where Adam and Eve got into all of their trouble. And we must refute that we are a part of the lineage of Adam and Eve. We are the lineage of what is described in Genesis chapter 1. And by we, I mean all humanity. The purpose of this prayer treatment is for all humanity, to include everyone in our thought. It's not just you, it's not just me, it's not just our best friend or our family or husband, wife, children. No, it is for all humanity. We are all of the same father and mother. Mary Baker Eddy defines God as our father, mother God. She gives us the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer. Mary Baker Eddy translates the first sentence, which says, "Our Father which art in heaven," to the spiritual sense, which is, "Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious." So God is not just our Father, but God is our Mother. God is our total source of everything, the only creator. There is no other creative power. So God is it. So we must think of God as our Father and Mother. Not as a man named Jesus, or the Messiah, or the Lord, or King of the Jews, or any other name. Even the Son of God is a name for Jesus, but not a name for God. The Son of God can't be God. Jesus could never be omnipresent. We can think of his wonderful qualities and the wonderful things he did as being omnipresent, because anyone can think of those and have them in their consciousness and let his wonderful life be our leader, because that's exactly what he is described as by Mary Baker Eddy herself, the way shower. He showed us the way. He showed us that love was the key quality of God, which enables everything to be possible. Everything is possible to God if we follow the qualities of God, if we live the qualities of God. And that means we have to live a life of giving, a life of love, a life of the golden rule. We certainly can't be living a life of criticism. Criticism leads to all evil. And we have to declare that individually, collectively, and universally, we are all one as the sons and daughters of God. No one is isolated. Everyone has a connection directly to the one and only Father, Mother God, the one that was described through the definitions earlier in this treatment. Mary Baker Eddy prayed 3 times a day for all humanity. We need to think about, what is God? And if we can think about what is God accurately, then we can think about everything that exists and everyone that exists in the universe. Because it all has to reflect God. Because God is the only power. God is the only creator. Mary Baker Eddy gave 2 Christian Scientists 26 different titles, one for each week from January through June, and then repeating those same titles for July through December. And if we study the topic for that particular week, we can put together into our thought the very important backup that is in the Bible and Science and Health that goes with that title. And one of those titles is God, the only cause and creator. Another one is just the word God. She also has them named after the synonyms, life, truth, love, principle, mind, soul, spirit. We need to focus such that we are not diverted, distracted, diluted, deflected, or stopped or reversed in our progress in transforming our life from the ups and downs of believing in matter as being the controlling force of our life. Einstein studied his whole life about matter and time and the relationship between time and space and matter and what he called mass, M-A-S-S. After spending his life studying it, he was introduced to Christian Science. And part of that introduction was from one of his best friends, whose name was Dr. Underwood, who was on the Atomic Energy Commission back around World War II time. And everyone on that commission passed on from radiation except his friend. And he asked him, "How is it that you're alive and everyone else is gone?" His friend said, "I'm a student of Christian Science, the works of Mary Baker Eddy. It gives one an opportunity to study a religion that is based on science as well as the healings of Christ Jesus." Einstein fell off his chair. He said, "I've been studying my whole life about matter and time and all this kind of thing. And," he said, "are you telling me that I should now believe that there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter?" Dr. Underwood said, "Doesn't matter to me what you believe. You got to work it out yourself. Convince yourself." Einstein's the one that came up with the phrase, "Curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning." Boy, he really started questioning then. He knew something about it. He had some kind of an inkling about it. But when he found out that his friend was saved from being terminated by radiation when everyone else passed on, then he said, "Wow, there's got to be something to this." And after studying it, he made these statements. He said, "Religion without science is blind, and science without religion is lame." And then he said, "Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book." He was referring to Mary Baker Eddy and even capitalized the word thou. "And everything that is in this book." He was referring to Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And I'll give you one more statement he made. He said, "Imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago." So that was around 1945 or 46 that he said that. And he had been studying for 50 years about matter. So 30 years before he even started Mary Baker Eddy, he had already discovered Christian Science and discovered that there was no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. The second quote at the beginning of the textbook is from Shakespeare. It says, "There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." He really started taking that to heart. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. In other words, our thinking is what has our influence on our life. It's not God. It's not our so-called human mother and father, biological mother and father. It's our thinking. How do we think about God? How do we think about a material birth? How do we think about this or that or whatever else comes our way? Our thought is what has the final influence on our life. And we have the power, through reflecting the power of God, to shape our life based on a brand new way of thinking. A model that can be based on the perfection of an all-powerful God that manifested the entire universe, all existence. So we can either accept the material concept of humanity, which is Adam and Eve making some big mistakes in a so-called Garden of Eden, and be saddled with that inferior concept of ourselves and of all humanity. Or we can accept what is in the first chapter of Genesis, which is before the Adam and Eve story, which is in the second chapter of Genesis. We can accept the first chapter of Genesis as exactly what it says in the Bible. In the beginning, it says. It doesn't say it was an afterthought. Adam and Eve was the afterthought. The real beginning was stated in Genesis chapter 1. And Mary Baker Eddy gives us the spiritual sense of that, and she says it's not really in the beginning. It is the only creation that ever existed. We are blessed with the only creation that ever existed that is made of spirit as the only substance. All humanity, we all have the same blessed beginning, which is not really a beginning, because anything that is true always has been. So our existence always has been. We just were not aware of it in a human sense, which is what our present concept is of our life. However, after studying Christian Science long enough, we are going to be changing our whole concept of our life. We're no longer going to be accepting a limited sense, but we're going to be latching on to an infinite sense, an infinite life. Mary Baker Eddy says infinite progression is concrete being. We think of concrete as being a symbol of permanence. That's why she uses the term concrete being. But that's attached to infinite. Infinite progression. We can put ourselves on a path of infinite progress. No end. Every day can be an exciting, enthusiastic dimension that is wider, taller, deeper than what we understood the day before. And we must think about everyone the same way, because we all came from the same source. So we all have the same opportunity to be reflecting the same one and only Father, Mother, God. Mary Baker Eddy is the first one that ever related to the world that God is not a human that is a father only, But God is the only source of all creation. All creation. And all creation has always been in existence. It's always been true. If something is true, it has always been true. There's no limitation. There's no timeline. It's permanent. If it's always been true, if it's true at all, it's always been true. And if it's always been true, there is no timeline. So we don't have to be concerned about that kind of a limitation. We cannot be permitting ourselves to be saddled with limited thinking for us or anyone else. Remember, we need to include every individual and collective and universal thought. So now let's reconsider what was stated in the beginning of this prayer treatment. What is in control? Who is in control? What is the source? What is the purpose? What controls it? What can influence? Shakespeare gives us the clue. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What are we going to put into our thought? What are we going to accept? What are we going to recognize as being what we should focus on? Are we going to focus on the truth so we can be set free from the limitation of a confining false concept of God and man and the universe, everyone included and everything included? Or are we going to peck open the shell, get out of the box, do our thinking outside the box, and in reality, be on and in the path, which is infinite progression, striving for an understanding of concrete being? It's our choice. We can be an F, which is a failure, or a very poor student, which is D, or we can be an average student, which is just rather passive, or we can be a positive acceptor, that's A-C-C-E-P-T, acceptor, accepting the truth, or we can be exceptional and not get off of the track at all. That's where the real pleasure is. But we have to be cultivating a life of giving. We have to be thinking about other people. We have to be thinking about the golden rule. We need to be giving instead of taking. We have to be active instead of passive. And who wants to be average? Who wants to be a sheep? Christian Scientists are thinkers. Just like Einstein was a thinker, and so many others. Mary Baker Eddy was a thinker. Jesus was a thinker. All of the big Bible characters were thinkers. They weren't limited. They were thinkers. They didn't just accept something. They had to contemplate about it. The human mind is very resistant to accepting any change. It thinks that it's married to the belief of Adam and Eve being the father and mother. Even though there's interaction between a biological mother and father, it really accepts the belief that Adam and Eve controls them, that they were born a sinner. You don't have to think of your mother and your biological mother and father as sinners. But the belief that the churches have been promoting for a long time is that we're born a sinner. Fake news. It is fake news. Stop listening to mainstream media fake news. Listen to the alternate media, which is the only place you're going to find the truth. One needs to connect the dots on their own. If you look at the results, you work backwards and determine how did this happen? What had to be the motivating forces to bring about the results that were received and was forced onto the population because the media was controlled, just like it is now. It has always been controlled. It's the old adage, follow the money. And the money was controlled by the churches and the governments. The control was by the churches and the government. The problem is humanity, or rather, the beliefs that are attendant with the whole concept of humanity. Humanity does not have a spiritual foundation. That is why we as individuals of the so-called human race must educate ourselves out of what has been pounded into us to believe. Genesis chapter 2 has been what has been promoted by the churches. In other words, we are born sinners. But it's not because of the real, one and only true God. It's because of the fake news. God had his hand in arranging the books of the King James Version of the Bible. Because the very first book is Genesis chapter 1 up through Genesis chapter 2 verse 3. The source of the word used for God is Elohim. But beginning with Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, the origin of the word utilized for G-O-D is different. And it is Jehovah, not Elohim. Jehovah is a false god. Elohim is the one and only true God, the God that is defined by Mary Baker Eddy. That is a perfect God. It is the God that is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. This real God knows nothing about anything unlike itself. It certainly could not know anything that is described in Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. Adam and Eve is not a part of the real God, of which the origin of the word God is Elohim. One has to connect the dots on their own, because the tidbits of truth are out there and available if one does the research. And one is not going to find it very easily on the internet, because the internet is full of theology that is not the truth. If one studies the early church fathers, which is the early period of Christianity, which ended approximately 325 AD, they will find a lot of very valuable information. Frederick L. Rawson covers this. Robert C. Putnam covers this. He was the one that was the student of Bliss Knapp. Here is what must be understood in order to even know what to search for, which are the dots or the data, in order to know what to connect to come up with the truth. Because we have to do this on our own. We need to be focusing on those advanced students that understood really what was going on. Obviously, at the head of the list is Mary Baker Eddy. One of the biggest problems with theology is they don't read the words. They only look at them. They don't understand them. That's a function of hearing. Spiritual understanding is hearing. And they don't really see, because seeing is spiritual discernment, knowing the difference between one thing and another. And of course, the biggest thing we're talking about is the difference between truth and error, evil and good. The real immortal mind and what is called mortal mind. The real substance, which is spirit, versus what is promoted as substance, which is matter. Soul, which is how we identify things with our seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Are we utilizing the spiritual senses? If spirit is the only substance, then the only substance of the way we identify anything has to be through spiritual sense. Principle. Are we looking at principle from a spiritual view or a material view? Mary Baker Eddy said she makes strong demands on love. That means she requires principle to be combined with love in analyzing what is the truth about love. Life. What are we living? Are we living the qualities of God? Or are we living a lie which has been promoted over all of humanity as being born a sinner? What kind of life are we leading? Do we just accept the fake news that says that we are all sinners and therefore excuse ourselves for doing things that a good consciousness would say that is the wrong thing to be doing? Truth is consciousness. Are we staying or even trying to stay on the path of truth? Truth about God, truth about man, truth about the relationship between God and man. What is our motive? That's all a part of truth, which is consciousness. All thought, speech, and action comes forth as a result of motive. And then, of course, love is the finale. And love means that we understand mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth to the degree that we can have spiritual fulfillment. And that's what love really is, spiritual fulfillment. But to have that, we have to be living the golden rule. We have to be living a life of giving. So what is the problem? The problem is that the universal belief is filled with lies about the truth of you and me and everyone else. The truth is there. God had his hand in the arrangement of the books of the Bible. Genesis 1 was written after Genesis chapter 2. In other words, if things were in order of the time line when things were written, Genesis 2 would be in advance of Genesis 1. Fortunately, if we start at the beginning of the Bible and we get a fair understanding of Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2, then we're going to reject a lot of what's in the Bible, which focuses on the story that is in Genesis chapter 2, beginning verse 4. Even Psalms, that has so many good things in it, if you look at chapter 103, it flips back and forth between the evil man and the good man. Look at King David. He saved the nation, was then put in as king. And yet he did one of the worst sins anybody can do. He falls in love from looking at a beautiful woman from the balcony, from his palace. And the people around him said, well, forget her, she's married. King David says, no problem, put him on the front lines where he will be killed in battle, and then I can have the wife. No one to object. The husband will be gone. And that's exactly what he did. So he committed murder, and then he stole the wife. Lust, a false sense of love. Humanity, greed, wants to either be controlling or they want to have the money or both. What part of the golden rule is included in greed or controlling others? Or having something that belongs to someone else. What part of theft is a part of the golden rule? What part of stealing, killing, any of the Ten Commandments? What part is any of the Ten Commandments? What does it have to do with the golden rule? Nothing. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? He said that it was that we shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. We shall do unto others as we would have them do unto us. He puts them together. They can't be separated. You can't love God if you're killing and stealing from your neighbor. In other words, humanity. Because if we really believe Genesis chapter 1, there's only one God. So that means we all have the same father and mother. And what we see when we look in the mirror is not the real you and me or anyone. It is a false sense. When we look at anything beautiful or smells beautiful, like a rose, beautiful tree, beautiful scenery, look up in the heavens at night and see all the beautiful constellations and stars and whatever. We must be focusing on the real qualities if we want to see the truth about anything. If we want to think in the eternal, we can't be looking at something that is otherwise defined as something that is matter. The thinker cannot rely on anyone else doing the thinking for them. Because if we want to improve our lives, we must transform our own consciousness. No one else can do that for us. Even if one would go to a practitioner, a Christian Science practitioner, and if they found one, which are very rare, that can bring forth a healing, what happens after that? Mary Baker Eddy makes it very clear. If we don't get serious about studying Christian Science on our own, that healing will do no good in the long term. Our consciousness has to be transformed from what is pounded into us as a material basis for it to the real spiritual reality about it. The Council of Nicaea, if one reads it, and Robert C. Putnam has a book on it. He was a student of Bliss Knapp, as has been mentioned, and Bliss Knapp was a true blue Christian Scientist. From his age of around 7 or 8, he was raised by Mary Baker Eddy. So his student, Robert C. Putnam, had the true blue truth. And his writings are basically a reflection of Blissnap himself. And that's a reflection of Mary Baker Eddy's spiritual understanding. And you can't get any better than that. Because Mary Baker Eddy is the only one that understood what was going on with Jesus. One can understand a lot about humanity if they read the chapter in Science and Health, number 3, on marriage. What do you think the real reason was that Jesus was crucified? Forget the fake news. Even Pilate did not want to murder Jesus. He says, I find no fault with him. But the Jews wanted to kill him. Why? Because Jesus was too pure to want to promote civilization through a sexual relationship between a man and a woman. So the Jews felt like their civilization would disappear because they only knew one way to propagate. That's the real reason Jesus was crucified. The truth is out there. You have to find it and connect the dots. They didn't mention that at the trial. No, they just said, crucify him, crucify him. He is blasphemed. But if you dig, you will find that that is the problem. If they followed Christ Jesus, they would self-destruct as a civilization. But the real man is not a human personality. And Jesus represented the real man. He represented the Son of God. He represented something far more spiritual than a human. And we can do the same thing. Mary Baker Eddy calls him the way shower. And she explains in great detail how to do it. Even the movie called Joshua said, what is the Bible? And they said, it's the book of love. Or Joshua did, the actor. It's a book of love. If there's one quality of God that Jesus could be known for over anything else, it was love. The same with Mary Baker Eddy. She had people attacking her all the time. And she prayed every hour to make sure that her consciousness was not on criticizing others, even though she had more right than anyone else in the world to do it. She knew that she had to be always loving. In other words, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. The same with Jesus. He was forgiving people while he was on the cross. He wasn't telling something to God. God doesn't have any ears. God is incorporeal. When he made the statement, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," he was only confirming in his own consciousness that that's the truth. I mean, the truth is, people, when they make mistakes, they're not even conscious of doing it, probably, most of the time, because they're being controlled by the belief of mortal mind being their mind, and that they are born a sinner, so it's natural for them to be doing sinful things. Just like King David rationalized what he was doing in some way. He gave us all of those beautiful psalms, and most of them are really spiritual. But as noted in this recording a few minutes prior to right now, he made two of the biggest blunders you could make. We need to realize that humanity is subject to the beliefs that go with humanity, the universal beliefs that have been pounded into civilization since the beginning of humanity. It's like the adage, follow the money. The money can be defined in several ways. But the two primary ones seem to be controlling others and getting something that someone else worked for. And sadly, those who profess to be Christian Scientists are just as evil as other people in many ways. What Christian Scientist do you know that lives a life of giving? They really live a life of giving, loving impersonally. You're going to have to really search diligently to find a single one. Almost everybody walking on planet Earth is a taker. They take something that they did not earn. They want something for nothing. If they need software for a computer, they look for free software. Did you realize that many of the programmers that are offering their software for free for a regular copy and then some kind of a fee for a professional copy also usually have a donation button? So if you find value in the free copy, you can make a donation, whatever amount the value is to you. Live the golden rule. That's what Christian Science is. Frederick L. Rawson says, our purpose on life here is to make other people happy. We should always give gratitude, and this is probably a repeat of what I've already said, but we should always give gratitude for anything we've learned that is new, and any author in particular that may be responsible for the writings or the recordings that we may have learned from. obviously, Christ Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, and these top people that I've mentioned, if you read anything from them, I mean, you can't help but be grateful for it. They are such outstanding examples. Mary Baker Eddy gave her life. Literally gave her life. No matter what was thrown at her, she was able to focus. And she reminded herself every hour of the day that she was awake to make sure that she was only looking from a spiritual standpoint to everyone and everything. And in addition, as already mentioned also in this recording, she prayed 3 times a day for all humanity. She is one of the best individuals possible to look to as a way shower. And it's easier to do that because Jesus only had a very little bit of writings where he was quoted, and apparently he didn't write anything himself, whereas Mary Baker Eddy was a profuse writer with 16 great books plus the 2 editions of Science and Health, the 1875 and then the final edition of 1910. And those 16 additional books, she says that we need to read and understand them in order to get more out of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. I'm totally grateful for all of these people I've mentioned. Also, particularly any thoughts that flow to me when I'm recording these prayer treatments. A topic will come to me and I start talking. I may not have any more than one thought when I start talking that attracted me to that particular topic. But then throughout the time, I have other thoughts that come to me. And when I finish, it's just like I already mentioned, I listen to it usually after it's published, and I say to myself, where did that come from? Because it wasn't any thought that I had when I began, and it may be a brand new thought to me. You will experience the same thing if you follow our instructions on how to make the most out of your study time. The title to this recording is Majority Governs. And hopefully you now have an idea on just what could possibly be meant by the majority. But as a summary, Mary Baker Eddy says, the good that we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable . And Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Shakespeare said, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And Mary Baker Eddy states, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. And the golden rule says, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And the Lord's Prayer says, our Father, Mother God, and that is the spiritual sense of the first verse from page 16 of Science and Health. And if we put all of these thoughts together that are stated in this summary, which again was all extemporaneous, we realize that there appear to be a majority that is of a material sense. But we know, as we study Christian Science, the real majority and the only real existence, the only reality, is all existence, which is a manifestation of God, which is therefore perfect in every way. A perfect mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And if we are living our life with those seven qualities and the other things that have been mentioned in this recording, such as the operators of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, and are aware of the four levels, and are working our way up to the top level, remembering that progress is infinite, and we should be working toward concrete being, then we will be on the side of God, which is not only the majority, but the only. As the first verse in Genesis 1 states, not just in the beginning, but in the only creation there is. That's where we will be. There is nothing but God, because God is all in all. Amen.